Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you guys for coming in this afternoon. I just wanted to take the opportunity to recap the 2015 season and officially turn the page and start the 2016 for the Miami Marlins. It's not where we want to be as an organization, obviously, with the playoffs starting and clubs starting their playoff runs, because that was the expectation of this club as we gathered in Jupiter this spring. But we sit here now after, a disappointing season for a number of reasons, and turn the page and try to move forward. We'll open it up for questions afterwards for you guys, but just to give you guys a little bit of information to turn the page on the season. Dan Jennings will not be back as manager for the 2016 season. Our managerial search has begun. It will be extensive. It will be exhaustive. And, we will stay in touch and keep you guys updated where we are in that process. And beyond that, we have our job to do to improve this club. We feel very confident with the core that we have here. We have a batting champion. We have a stolen base champion. We have a hits leader. We have a number of positive things that happen with this ball club this year, but it still is a club that finished 20 games under 500. So for us to get where we want to go, and that's one of 10 playoff teams, we have to get better. And we need to get healthy, first and foremost. And then it will be up to me and our department to get our club better.
Just to add a few things to that. Is that Dan Jennings was asked to return as a general manager. There are some changes in the baseball operations department, and that is not one of them. So you can hear about them. Mike can go through them one by one in terms of who's where and doing what. But Dan was asked and to come back to where he was as general manager of the team. And no one else has that title but Dan Jennings. From our standpoint, a lot of interesting things happened off the field this season as we started to prepare for, as general manager.
Yes.
Is that what you were asking?
We
asked him to return as general manager. He was always under contract as general manager, even while he was manager. Dan, this was a difficult season for all of us. We had different expectations, and it just got away from us. And we asked Dan to step in as manager while always continuing to be general manager. He was always general manager the entire year. That never changed. I think that, he did a very good thing for the organization by going down there into a very tough situation. And it did not, in our opinion, it was simply what we thought at that time was the right thing for the Marlins to do in order to salvage the 2015 season. At the end of the day, the team ended 20 games under, and the decision was made to not have Dan back as manager and to put him back as general manager.
Is he not decided yet?
Well, where we're at right now, it's obviously been a long season, and we're giving him time to decompress from obviously a challenging season. But we've asked him to come back and be a part of our front office and work with us and improving the roster.
So he's mulling the decision. Is that
fair statement? It's not really a decision in that he's signed to be a general manager. So I know that there's been a lot written about, and I'm trying to stop it. One of the purposes of this press availability was just to stop all speculation and all discussion of Dan. There really should be no speculation. He's assigned a member of our front office, an important member who's been around for a long time, and he's the general manager. All the changes in the baseball department, Jeff McAvoy being named vice president, player personnel. There is no title change at all to Mike Berger. He's doing exactly what he was doing all last year and will be doing that all this year and all next year. I'm trying to think of...
David Keller, who was our assistant director of pro scouting, will be promoted to director of pro scouting. Brian Chatton, who was our director of player development, has been promoted, and he'll now be assistant general manager, and he'll work closely with Dan and I at the major league level. And that's really it. There hasn't been, you know, all the speculation about our people in our front office. There's, you know, there's nothing that has changed. DJ will be back as GM, and Chatton has been promoted to assistant GM. Jeff McAvoy has been promoted to vice president of player personnel, and David Keller has taken over for Mac as the director of pro scout.
So the major takeaway there is that while we understood and didn't want to discuss the speculation that was going on during the season, we just were trying to focus on the games. There is no upheaval. We are the front office that we were when the season started, and we're returning to that. So we've always run the team and the baseball department with people having voices, and we have what we think is a great group of men who are helping us make decisions, and we make decisions together as a team, good ones and bad ones, and we need to make more good ones. Very interesting season we set out to accomplish, and we accomplished many of it. You know, talk about D. Gordon, that's an example of a transaction that in our mind was terrific, and you add him to the core of the team. There are transactions that did not work, that we would do again, only in that we thought they would, and that's the nature of baseball, but we're not satisfied being 20 games under at all. We have the longest playoff drought in the National League. We're not running from that. And we've got an amazing ballpark. More people were here this year. The no-show rate was down. People are enjoying the ballpark more as we get ready for the All-Star game. There's a lot of exciting things going on. And we want to match that excitement with better performance. And with the core of players we have, we think we have. And one of the things that we worked on is not the only move of the offseason, but certainly the first move, is the re-signing of Ichiro Suzuki, which we're announcing today. It's a major, major announcement in our standpoint because of what he adds to this team. Forget the fact that he's a first ballot Hall of Famer and a potential back of the bullpen arm for next season. Forgetting all that, he is someone who comes into a clubhouse and gets immediate respect and results. And having him sign and be a Marlin again is it's outstanding. It's a great beginning to our offseason, by no means an end. And so that's just an example of what Mike and Dan and Mac and Berger and Jeffrey and I and everyone in the organization and Brian Chatton, we're all working to make the team better. And we work as a team. That's how we've always been, just like on the sales side. And what we're doing is always coming up with new and interesting season ticket packages, which we have new ones that will be starting next year. When it comes to the fences, we're looking at that, and there will be changes to the dimensions of the field next year. And we don't exactly know the scope of those changes yet. We're studying it right now, but we are doing it in an effort to get better. And that's why we do everything.
There still seems to be some uncertainty about Dan Jennings' role, though. I mean, yeah, he's been asked to come back. He has that title, but it doesn't sound like he's made that decision whether or not he's coming.
But it's not, here's the thing. There's no decision for him to make. He is the general manager of the team, and we want him to be the general manager of the team. No single individual has a sole voice in a decision that's made. The final arbiter is always the owner of the team, but Michael has been in charge of the baseball organization, and we believe in Michael, and what he wants is best. And what Michael wants is a group of people around him, like a round table, a board of directors, who work with him to make decisions. That's really been the structure from the beginning. And that's why we say nothing's changed. So it is true that we've asked Dan, but that's just a nicer verb than telling. And he signed, and maybe we should have used the verb telling, but we've been with Dan for 14 years. It's just not as nice a word. He will be back at the table like he was when decisions are being made to make this team better.
Where do you sense DJ's head's at in this? Obviously, he really liked managing, and he liked the relationships. Where do you think he is right now as he makes his transition back?
I think once he takes a minute, it's hard to decompress after a season. We don't have the luxury that I wish we did have because we were on a conference call the minute the last pitch came. In the Philly game to end the season, Mike and I, to the airport, were on a phone call. and talking about 2016. We don't get that minute to decompress, and we were talking about that. When you're the manager, we wanted to give Dan that. He needs that time, and he should need that time. It's been a tough year on and off the field. And so where's his head? He dove knee-deep into managing, and that's what we asked him to do on May 18th, 17th, and 16th. And he dove into it head first on behalf of the organization that he's been loyal to, and we've been loyal to him for 14 years. So
14 years.
So where's his head? I think his head is probably needing to relax a little bit and then get ready to get back to helping make decisions on how we need to get better. And the experience he had, I think, is going to help him as a front office person.
David, when did you guys come to this decision about moving Dan back to general manager? And if it was early, how much inquiry has there been about the Canadiens? It's a hot ticket to be a manager in Rangers. How much inquiry are you guys getting from people interested in the job?
You can answer that, Dave. All the emails come to you.
Yeah. No, it's it's one of 30. It's one of 30, so obviously it's an honor to be a Major League manager. And I think people recognize what we have here. And there is a solid core of talented players. And we feel that we aren't that far away from winning. And I think that's why we still maintain optimism. We're still enthusiastic because, you know, I think people have seen the talent that is here. You know, the 2015 season was incredibly disappointing. You know, you can look at a lot of things that just didn't go right. You know, our opening day starter got 0 wins for us. You know, our middle of our order, our franchise player played in 74 games. But then, as I said, there's some other positive things that you can look at, and that it, you know, the injuries that we had to endure created opportunities for other players. And some of the young starters, the Adam Conleys and Justin Nicolinos, were able to showcase their abilities, albeit a little early. They were still able to show what they're capable of doing and start the process for us for 16 and evaluating them and how they fit with how we build moving forward. You look in the bullpen with the emergence of Carter Capps before he got injured, and he was on his way to one of the most dominating, you know, seasons in bullpen history with what he was able to accomplish. So there was good things there. You know, Kyle Bearclaw, Brian Ellington, players who were in our system that we weren't counting on to pitch meaningful innings for us in the big league, stepped up and showed that they are very capable pieces for us to look to into 2016. And then you look on the field, Christian Yelich, who battled the early injuries, batting, you know, over 340 the second half of the season to finish at 300. D. Gordon in the batting title. You know, the emergence of our young catcher, JT Realmuto, the Gold Glove defense of Etch, you know, Prado being the pro that he is, Justin Bour emerging as a viable first base option for us. You know, those were questions that we were able to answer, albeit in a disappointing season, but it gives us optimism as we look forward and paints a clear roadmap for what we need to do to improve this club.
Mike, as you conduct a managerial search, how much importance do you place on previous major league managerial experience?
Josh, I think we just want the right person. You know, I'm not going to say that whomever our next manager is going to fit any type of mold, any type of one mold. We just want the right man for the job, the leader who's going to help this talented young core take it to the next level. I mean, I spoke, you know, at the end of last year about the progress we had made and the plus 15 in games that we had made and what we were trying to do to take that next step. And we stalled. We stalled in 2015. We did not get over the hump. We had young players that came out of the box. They underperformed. They didn't do what we thought they would do. They had to take a step back. In the bullpen early, we had, you know, underperformance from the back end of our bullpen that I think hurt us early. And then you just look at the injuries. I mean, you're not to think that our opening day starter got 0 wins for us is tough. It is because this is a team built, you know, around his pitching. We knew that Jose was not coming back till mid-year. So we had to tread water with our pitching. And you know, when Alvarez is injured and not productive, that hurts us. And, you know, that was part of it. And then, you know, Yelich injured and Ozuna underperforming early. Those were guys in the middle of our lineup where we weren't getting the production we needed. So as we look for our next manager. We want someone who will rally this group, and I think they are coming together as a group, and that's the one thing that I can say about the adversity that they face this year, is that they are coming together. You know, these are young guys who are growing together in the big leagues and who are seeing that they can win games and that they are talented. And now we just need to find the right man to continue that growth and get us over the hump.
Are you going to allow the new manager to pick up his own coaching staff? And if that's the case, what does that mean for the existing coaching staff?
What we have told our existing coaching staff is that, you know, DJ won't be back in the manager's role, and that, you know, the new manager will have a role in hiring the new staff. And so it'll be a collaborative effort. You know, it'll work with me and David, and we'll, you know, and the manager, and we'll reassemble our coaching staff. But our current coaches will have an opportunity to get face time with whomever we hire. And if he comes with coaches, then that's something we'll have to discuss. But you know, we have left it open to our existing coaches to, you know, to seek opportunity. But knowing that when a new manager comes in, that they'll be
all of them or just some of them.
We've given it to all of them.
Mike, having said that, the interest in the manager position, has it been, I mean, there should be people knocking down the door, right?
It's remarkable the names that we've gotten, both as former players, people who've never played, people who've never managed, people who have managed for many years, people you thought were retired as managers, people you thought were retired as being involved in baseball. It's scores of names are coming into Mike, coming into me, and coming into Dan, actually. So there's a lot of names coming in, and we'll methodically go through and methodically get to an answer.
How about people in the organization already?
That's not out of the question. It's, you know, there are some possible managerial candidates who we would talk to.
Michael, your farm system, I think there's a general consensus that it's been a little depleted over the past couple of years. What's your thoughts on your farm system right now, currently?
That's a fair question, and I would agree that at the upper levels we're not as deep as we'd like to be, and that's something that, you know, our new VP of Player Development, Mark Del Piano, that we need to fortify our upper levels. We just came back and just finished up instructional league, and we have a lot of young talent. We're happy with the young athletes, the young arms, young power arms that we have, but they're not as close to the big leagues. We've traded a lot of that upper level inventory, no question about it, and a number of the moves that we've made over the last year, 18 months. So we need to fortify and to add to that, just to give us more depth and give us more options to choose from, you know, as we look down to our minor leagues when we need help.
What's behind the decision shutting down? Negative feedback. The decisions on the ballpark dimensions being very minor.
So we had done a bunch of studies, as I had said, for the last four seasons on how the ballpark was playing, and we believe that we have a better chance to win more home games with some adjustments we're going to make on wall size and potentially on wall distances. Wall height and field dimension. So we're going through it right now with an architect, the architect Populous, the firm Populous. We're going to see how it can all work. We'll have to talk to the city and county, our partners, and talk about getting it done for April.
Would the walls be coming toward home plate or farther back?
No, toward.
Do I get a vote?
Are you talking about particular part of the?
We're looking at everything right now. I think that when you look at our gaps, there's probably room to bring those in the right center gap. But again, I don't want to blame our performance on the field dimensions. I think that dovetailing about the farm system, if we had Nicolino and Conley and Barraclough and Urena and Ellington, those would be upper level in the farm system, right? But for injury, they would be in the farm system. So I always hesitate. We don't necessarily choose a day to evaluate our farm system or look at a ranking by a publication. That does not impress us. What we're looking at is the general overall talents in the organization. just to add one bit to that, when we're evaluating Mike, we don't say you have a bad farm system. Or when we're talking to the farm director, we don't look at it that way at all. We look at where the players are.
Yeah, but how much can those trades have affected the future of the franchise?
Well, all trades, it's a balance. Of course, when you trade, Disco Anthony Discofani from Atletos, you're making a trade because we wanted to bring in what we thought was a solid starter waiting for Jose, as Mike said, to tread water. We were hoping to do a little better than tread water but until Jose got back and then ride Jose into the playoffs. And we just couldn't do it, and Matt Latos was not able to perform as a Marlin. You know, what are you going to do? Would we make that trade again? Yeah, at the time we would. Today, of course not. So you can't look back like that. So the reason you have a farm system is to win at the major league level. That's our philosophy and always has been. We don't have a farm system to be ranked number one. We don't aspire to have the best farm system in baseball. That's not very interesting. What's interesting is having the best major league team.
Well,
so
we could put everybody in the mind. You could put Jose Fernandez at 22 years old. He'd be a great double-A pitcher, but I think he helps us more in the major league level.
That would help our ranking in Baseball America.
He would, as would Yelich and Ozuna and all these guys in their early 20s. But, we make deals to help our major league club, and, there's no secret. You have to give to get in order to make a deal, and we made deals that we felt were going to help us at the major league level. Some of them worked, and the Heron and D. Gordon, and some of them did not work as well as we would have liked.
Michael, how much is to be focused on helping Mr. Dobson here and with the analytical part of the sport?
It is an area where we are looking to improve and grow. An analytical department is behind the manager, probably the second most important thing that we want to take care of, because it's just another aspect of the game that you want to take advantage of. Have we used analytics? We have. Have we used them as much as other organizations? Probably not. Is it an area where we can improve? Yes, and we plan on doing so this offseason.
What convinced you to do so, to expand that area, maybe use more information regarding from analytics than in the past?
There's just so much data out there. There's so much data that can be useful. And whether you use it or not, it needs to be a part of the conversation. And, I'm not afraid of analytics. I've used analytics. I think it's a part that will just allow me to make the most informed decision that I can make. I'll still make mistakes, but you want to make the most informed decision that you can. And we have some of the most experienced, knowledgeable scouts in the game. We have great development people, our coaches, and analytics is just another aspect, another part that hopefully will allow us to make the best decisions we can.
Last offseason, you signed Stanton and Yelich long-term. Is it going to be a priority to lock up some of your other young core players?
Well, I think when we finish this press conference and we start to dig into our 2016 offseason, we'll look at everything. You look at our core, and it's under control. It's a controllable core. D's a three plus major league service. Etch is a first time eligible. Three plus. We have players under control. So I think. I was out front last year saying that we're aggressively, trying to extend some of our core, and I think we'll continue that conversation and see where it goes.
Just want to make sure, 1 year deal with you two?
Yes, it's a 1 year deal.
You kind of brush on with Ichiro, if he gets 3,000 hits in a Marlins uniform and just his presence and what he chases, what could that mean?
Well, I'd say off the field, Ichiro has been one of the most interesting players that I've personally come across since I got into this game. Forget his love of the game, the fact that he's in the best shape of any player I've seen at any age. Forget the fact that he's 41. His desire to play baseball the right way, to be respectful of Major League Baseball, to be respectful of his other players and of the game itself and the traditions of the game, and the example he shows to the other players on both sides of the ball if you watch closely as he was pitching the other day, both teams were paying attention, which doesn't always happen. Rarely does, actually. So for us, what Ichiro did was he just brought an interesting dynamic to the clubhouse and to the front office. And his ability to communicate with us, his desire to communicate with us, was nonstop in all positive ways. So for us, bringing him back was important because bringing him back as a fourth outfielder, the same role, there's plenty of at-bats for our fourth outfielders, given our injury history. You'd like to believe there's no at-bats, but that's not real. In baseball, you need a productive bench. And having Ichiro productive, we think, is an important piece to a playoff team. As far as 3,000 hits, we feel the same way Ichiro does. He's not in this game to get 3,000 hits. He's in this game because he literally for the love of the game. And for us, we're not going to do anything while he's hitting, while he's doing anything. Will we celebrate it when he attains it? Yeah, of course. It's history. Just like we celebrated history when we celebrated Diddy when he was the first player since Jackie Robinson to lead the league in hits and batting average and steals. So celebrating with Ichiro would be an honor.
Well, he wasn't signed to be our everyday right fielder, and I think the injuries, you know, he played probably more than any of us expected he would play, but I think there are enough at-bats for him and as the extra outfielder. I think, you know, we've seen him go through struggles. We saw him go through struggles earlier in the season, and he bounced back, and he's a pro. His preparation is unparalleled. I mean, it's amazing how he prepares himself for the game of baseball, and he's a great example for, you know, our other young outfielders, and we're happy to have him back.
One of his greatest respects for baseball is the desire to be in uniform every day on the field playing, and that is an example that every player around baseball should pay heed to. That, you know, he didn't feel great every day. But you can't feel good every day in baseball. You feel how you feel and you get out and play. And Ichiro just loves doing that. And he did it. He would never tell us that he was tired. Do we think he was tired toward the end of the year? He's human. And he'd have to be. Everyone was tired. And he played almost every day.
Want to see him pitch again?
No.
It's a pretty good slider, though. It was a pretty good slider. So we won't say complete no.
But you said it was fun, though. I mean, he adds a completely different dynamic, right? I mean,
he does. Not him pitching. Him in the outfield and batting is what adds value. And so having him and just the worldwide adoration that he has, I've not seen it with any athlete. You know, I was never around Michael Jordan, but I assume that's what Michael Jordan was like. And being around Ichiro in Japan must have been what being around the Beatles was like in England. And that's, you're around excellence. And when that happens, it tends to rub off on you. And that, I think, makes all of us better.
Do you have some idea of when you want to have the new manager hired? Is that before the World Series? I know you don't have a specific time, but is there
interviews are ongoing, and when it's right, it's right. And Just like we said, when we came to the conclusion for Dan to take over when he did, it was just, we felt that was the right time. This will be the same. When an interview happens where we feel that's the end of the process, that'll be the end of the process.
How many candidates do you expect to interview?
It's, you know, interesting names keep coming. And so we're putting together our own lists. So I would say there will be anywhere between 4 and 20 interviews.
But just, Clark, we'd like to have them in place so we can be a part of our off-season decision-making process. So not to put a timeline on it, but, you know, you'd like to have the new manager on board as we start our off-season.